or star. The orcs, nearest them, faltered, looked back and broke. Before the orcs could run, the first rank of elven knights was on them, trampling them. The flank of the Varrakaian cohort on that side panicked and scattered. One group of elves peeled away, harrying the fugitives. The others advanced in order. At their center rode one not in armor. Pox stared, hardly believing her eyes. She looked away, to see that the Parganese, deserted by the Varrakaian, were withdrawing in order. Another group of elven knights rode by the far side of the square. The light enclosed the defenders, walling them off from their enemies. The sounds of flight came clearly through the air. The quick thunder of the elven knights' horses, the cries, the distant skirmishes. But all around the king a pool of silence widened, broken less and less by voices and movement, and coming at last to completion. Without a word, the front ranks of the square, Doran's cohort, opened a lane for the elven riders. Without a word, the king came forward to greet them. With the great elven sword still glowing in his hand, he looked a king out of legend. The lady on her horse bowed to him. He slipped off his helmet and handed it to Leith, who had followed him that far. Then he set the sword point down before him and bent his knee to her. "Lady," he said, in a voice Pox had not heard him use, "you honor us."
"Sir King," she said, and Pox had to believe now who she was. "You honor us, both our kindred and our land."
He lifted his head.
"You consent to this?"
"Rise, Sir King."
She gestured to the sword.
"I have seen my daughter's son defend his own with his own sword. I have heard and seen how that sword answers his need. We came here to greet you in all joy, and we rejoice to greet you in time."
He had climbed to his feet. Now he brought the sword to her side. She leaned from her tall mount to touch his head, one light touch, with a hand that glowed like silver fire. Her voice chimed with amusement.
"Were I minded differently, son of my daughter, the enemies you make would be good witnesses for you. No wicked man could contrive to have all these assault him at once. He would ally with one or another of them."
The king laughed. "Lady, I thank you for your faith. Surely a stupid man might blunder into this?"
"I think not. Stupid men are too cautious. But, Sir King, I have drawn you from a battle unfinished. Perhaps you would be free to finish it? My knights are at your disposal."
The king glanced back at the defenders. "With your permission, lady, we will cleanse this valley of such perils for the future." She bowed, and he returned to them. Suddenly Pox realized that she was not sustaining her own light. Whether it failed from weakness or surprise, she did not know. They stood under the elf light alone. But the king, coming back into the square, commanded her attention. Still bareheaded, his face conveyed a majesty that even Pox had not imagined. "We will not harry the Parganese," he said. "I suspect they were lured here, and the Varrakaian intended to blame them for the massacre. But the priests of Liart, the orcs, and the Varrakaian, these must be accounted for."
"And you, my lord?" asked Doran.
"I will stay.